I want you to see it now. God will make this trial a blessing. Though my tears flow like a river,
there's no need to get discouraged. No need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing and the whole wide world.
Oh, let's stand and sing that chorus again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me just give you this testimony, a praise report before we go on into the service. You know, Brother Alray had requested prayer for that Sister Marty there in South Africa, very sick. Anyways, he called this morning, wanted everyone to know that Sister Marty was sitting up this morning and eating. She wants to give all the praise to the Lord and thank you for praying for her. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give God a hand clap of praise this morning if you love Him. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees, though my tears flow like a river, yet He gives there sweet relief.
There's no need to get discouraged, no need to talk.
Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? What a time we had here last night. How many of you enjoyed the service? Tell you what, church just gets better all the time. You thinking about quitting? I'm just going to say somebody may need your seat. But I don't believe none of you is thinking about quitting. I believe we're thinking about going on, aren't we? How many of you got a desire to go on more than you ever had in your life? Thank God for that. While the desire of many is getting weaker and weaker and failing all the time, I believe the true believer, I believe we see the fruits of our life, how God is instructing us from His Word. The things that we're hearing right now in our life is so very timely for the conditions we live in. It gives us a greater desire to see God. You know, really, God is doing something in our life. It's not you changing you. It's God changing you. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give Him another big hand clap of praise if you love Him this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated while we look at our prayer request this morning. I want to remember Brother Terry Tidwell and his family in prayer. His brother passed away this past week. If I'm not mistaken, about 54-year-old, had a massive heart attack. And was in the hospital just for a few days and went on. Maybe in the last couple of days. So we certainly want to pray for Brother Terry and that family, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. Certainly want to continue to pray for Brother Bill Yance. The Lord would just bring our brother along, Brother Junior Davis. God bless him. Just a drink of fresh water to see him in the house of the Lord this morning again. God is so mindful of him. Want to continue to remember him. Want to remember little Emmy in prayer, Parker, that the Lord would just continue to give the doctors wisdom. And may they find the treatment that will take care of that child and Sister Erica. We believe God's able to do that, don't we? So we just commit all that unto the Lord as we pray this morning. We'll remember Brother Tracy. He is walking but still very dizzy. He is at home and would welcome some company. So if you get a chance to go by and visit with Brother Tracy, certainly would be a blessing to him. We'll remember Brother Howard Collins. He is sick, unable to be in the service this morning. Sister Mary Lewis sends this in. It's quite lengthy, but I'll try to brief you on it as good as I can. Thank you for praying for me and for the nice cards, calls, and texts while I was in the hospital for a month. I went into pneumonia, ended up needing emergency surgery. After the surgery, the doctor said that I would never be able to get off the ventilator, that I would have to live in a nursing home forever how long I lived. A couple of days later, the Lord gave me a miracle, and I was taken off the ventilator. Then the doctor said I might need a trach. It was a struggle for quite some time with my breathing, but I am doing so much better and did not have to get the trach. During this trial, I believed and confessed that this has to work together for my good. To make a long story short, the Lord used this situation to bring my family together and restore relationships that had been broken for over 20 years. Everything I went through is worth it, and I'm believing for complete healing for me and the spiritual healing for my family. God healed my breathing and swallowing, and I believe He's doing that for Brother Bill as well. I love Jesus, people, and life more now than ever before. God bless you, Sister Mary Lewis. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Sister Gerald sends this in to please pray for my niece's husband, Donnie Anderson, who is having open heart surgery this week. So we want to just remember that prayer request. Brother Junior Davis says, I go for a treatment tomorrow. Please pray with me that my blood counts will stay high so that I can still be able to come to the house of the Lord. That's a wonderful request, isn't it? Amen. Brother Baker says he wants to praise the Lord for healing and deliverance. While Brother Donnie was ministering last night, not only was I healed, but a fear that was in my life left me, and he wants to praise the Lord for that. So thank God for that testimony this morning. Brother Jackie, Sister Betty, along with Bernie and Wanda, would like for everyone to remember their granddaughter, Mackenzie Davis, in prayer. She is facing surgery on her ankle in the morning. Being a diabetic, this creates a more difficult and more serious situation. So they're asking that we would pray for that child, that the Lord would just guide the doctor's hand and let her be healed. Why don't just ask for all of it? Just let her be healed. And here's another prayer request for Brother Tracy this morning. Sister Judy Keith says to please pray for Matt Keith. He will be having hernia surgery on Tuesday. So we just commit that to the Lord. And then I gave you the report. Brother Alray calling this morning and giving us that praise report about Sister Marty there in South Africa. Well, the Lord is certainly good, isn't he? Look at somebody and say, God is so good. God is so good. Say it again like you really believe it. God is so good. You have an unspoken prayer request you'd like for this group to pray about? Could we stand this morning? You believe God's able to meet these needs? Brother Skip Walker, why don't you come this morning? Let's invite the presence of our Lord into this service. Ask Him to have His divine will in all these requests. Love you, Betty.
So I'll just pray together. Dear Lord, we're very thankful to You for Sunday morning service, Lord. And it was up early this morning. It's a little cloudy, but it's not on the inside, Father. We pray, Father, for each request. You're the healer. You're the balm in Gilead, and You're the place only place we can come to for healing, Lord. We realize You're the one that heals all of our diseases. You heal every broken heart. You just help every discouraged person. And Lord, the most thing that we need is to live what we're here, Lord. Oh Lord, it's a high mark, Lord. Help us to get there, Father. Help us to turn everything over to You. I believe it's a trust issue, Lord. We need to trust You more and more and more for everything, every aspect, every small walk of our life, Lord. We pray You'd be with each one this morning, the musicians, everybody that's going to sing, our pastor, of course, Lord. You bless him, be with him, anoint him in a mighty way, anoint our ears, Lord. Be with each request, Father God. It was turned in faith, believing that You would touch him. We're believing with him, Lord. And we thank You for the mercy and the grace that You always give us here on this hill. In Jesus' name we thank You. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Skip. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here in this service today, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming the service today, may God richly bless those folks as well. Now, I've been asked again to make mention to you, if you signed up over in the library for the American Red Cross blood drive, if you signed up, you'd need to go over there and put down the time that you can be here on July the 16th. They really need you to do that. The library staff is just really getting frantic about it. You're not coming over to sign up for your time slot. Now, I signed me and Glenda up and like to skirt her to death. But we're going to give our blood. We're going to do it by the grace of God. We're going to give it. Now, if you've signed up, you better get over there and get your name down and get the time that you're going to be here. How many of you are going to do that? Look like we got 13 that's going to give. The rest of you are going to sit up here and watch us give, ain't you? please do that. They need you to come by and sign up. They're getting in a, that's getting closer all the time, and we need for you to do that. Sister Boone, God bless you. She's in service this morning with us. She's been in the hospital. She's back in church. Praise the Lord. Appreciate Sister Boone. You know, you got heroes in your life, and she's one of mine. I just want her to know that. She is one of my heroes, and I certainly love Sister Boone. Happy Father's Day to all of our fathers. God bless you. If you're a dad and you're here in the service, if your fathers went on to be with the Lord, may God bless you as you go through this time. But happy Father's Day. Look at somebody and say, happy Father's Day. Brother Harry, sing us a verse. God will make this trial a blessing. No, it's fine. Happy Father's Day, guys. God bless you.
I just Happy came Father's
Day.
Into
God bless you, Brother Samuel.
Like I've never been Happy before. Keep searching for a way out. Seems like padlocks are on the door. Oh, there must be another sunrise, another sunset that I'll see. God will make this trial a blessing. That's the love He has.
Amen. Amen. I want Brother Joel Yance to come here just a second. I want him to lead us in a song this morning. I love that man in the middle. Brother Joel, you up to doing that this morning, aren't you? Beg pardon? You can do it. Come on, buddy. Give Brother Joel a hand as he comes this morning. He's hoarse, but he's not that hoarse. I love to hear Brother Joel Yance sing, don't you?
Amen.
I sure do. Amen. Sing it, buddy.
That's a very, very low key.
I love that man.
in the middle, because I know He first loved me. Praise to that man who died on Mount Calvary. Little man made it possible that I could go free.
I can sing this from my heart. Can you this morning?
I love that man in the middle, because I know you first loved me. Was doomed for the tree, but Jesus took that middle one, and Barabbas went free. Flowers, no trees in bloom, the scenery was so dull. Three crosses stood black and bold against a darkened sky. Nothing pain but a broken heart, that middle man died.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Don't never want to forget that man in the middle, do we? Amen. He is what made it all possible. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated this morning. We're going to have a couple of songs. Brother Justin Reagan is here. He's going to give us a song. Brother John Cockman is, I believe, here this morning. Brother John, if you'll come onto the platform, be getting ready. Brother Justin, wherever you guys are. Appreciate our singers, don't we? Give them a nice hand as they get ready to sing for you this morning.
Happy Father's Day, brothers. That's the first thing I heard this morning. I was thinking of a song my mother wrote as I was walking up here. Father, forgive. You know, man, it's so hard to see someone fall away from the faith that they once held. It, you know, it's just, it's human nature to kill your prophets. The Jews did it. They attacked Christ. And the criticisms aren't new, but you see, you know, people that are believers attack the vindicated word of this message with the same flawed methodology that atheists used continuously to discredit the prophecies of Christ and the prophecies of the Old Testament. And it's hurtful. And it's easy for us to see the hypocrisy of attacking someone that you don't like in a way that you would never attack. You know, someone that you don't feel safe in attacking, you know. And so, but I just thank the Lord for you. Thank the Lord for those that have recognized the word for our day. But when you have friends and a friend or a loved one who is who you have a disagreement with, a lot of times hurtful things can be said, and that's where we need to step back and say, Father, forgive. And so I think my mother wrote this a long time ago, and I think it's just as true today. Somebody told a lie about you, said you did something you did not do. Somebody made others lose trust in you, made you so bitter and made you so blue. Somebody spoke to you harsh and bluntly. They think you're not what you ought to be. Somebody feels you have done them great wrong, caused you to cry and feel all alone. What if they nailed your flesh to a tree, scourged you and mocked you mercilessly, thorn on your brow, spear in your side, hanging in shame alone to die? All this and more they did to my Lord. Still he could say, still he could pray, Father, forgive. Somebody waits in the dark all alone, longing for love, dreaming of home. Somebody cries out desperately, Lord, you know that somebody's me. Here at your feet, Lord, I kneel to pray. Fill me with your Holy Spirit today. Take all the hate of this
this world out of me. I want a heart that forgives lovingly. For somebody nailed your flesh to a tree, scourged you and mocked you mercilessly. Thorns on your brow, spear in your side, hanging in shame alone to die. Dying for me, setting me free. Now I can pray, now I can say, Father,
Father, enduring friend, your tender mercies like a river with no end, it overwhelms me, covers my sin. Each time I come into your presence, I stand in wonder once again. 'Cause your grace still amazes me, and your love is still a mystery. Each day I fall on my knees, 'cause your grace still amazes me. Your grace still amazes me. Savior, you make me whole. You are the author and the healer of my soul. What can I give you, Lord? What can I say? I know there's no way to repay you, only to offer you my praise. 'Cause your grace, it still amazes me, and your love is still a mystery. Each day I fall on my knees, 'cause your grace still amazes me. Your grace still amazes me. It's deeper, it's wider, it's stronger, it's higher, it's deeper, it's wider, it's stronger, that's higher than anything. My eyes can see your grace. It still amazes me. And your love is still a mystery each day. I fall on still amazes me. Your grace still amazes me.
Praise the Lord. Well, we appreciate our songs this morning, don't we? Certainly appreciate these young people. Brother John, you're still considered a young person. We appreciate you. Brother Justin, God bless you. I just want to say one other thing this morning about Brother Lawson. Bless your heart. You are an inspiration to me. This young man came and got baptized a couple of Wednesdays ago. And I watched him in the service as he worships the Lord and raises his hand and responds to the word. I'd rather see somebody do that than to sign the biggest contract that this world could offer. To take a stand for the Lord in the days of your youth is a great, great testimony. God bless every one of you. Let's stand this morning. That sounds like home to me. Let's sing this little chorus as our pastor gets ready to come and bring the word of the Lord to us this morning. Are you glad to be a Christian? Are you glad to be in church? Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise if you love Him this morning. That sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears, tear our eyes again.
Sounding sweeter all the time, man. Amen. Amen. Let's turn together today, if you would, to the book of 1 John, chapter 2, verse 5. I'd also like to express to the fathers today, happy Father's Day. Trust God will make it a good day for you. I'd like to say also that Lance and Erica and Eliana are heading home today, released from the hospital. And trust that God will help them and here's some results tomorrow from the tests that they've done. So I told Erica today, you know, whenever doctors do tests and we find out results, that just means we can focus and target our prayers on the problem areas. Yeah. Amen. That's right. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. I want to speak to you again today on His love perfected in us. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. Hereby know we that we are in Him. When perfect love lives out of our heart. Now remember, John was a man of miracles. John was a man of supernatural. And yet John never assigned that as a way that you would know that you were in Him. John never said the wonders that you did, the signs you did, casting out devils. John understood many great things. None of us have ever reached to the level of understanding and vision that this man had achieved. Not even Paul was allowed to go into the realm of vision and see what he saw. But yet, when that man saw all of that, and yet he would come back and say this, hereby know we that we are in Him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Verse 16. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. And God in him. Now remember, there's a difference in having love and experiencing love and dwelling in the realm of agape love. There has never been a mortal of the billions who have lived on this earth that can live in agape love without supernatural help. It's totally impossible. So if you're there, you ought to be shouting. You're blessed. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, from the profound words that we have read, we could dismiss right now and say it's been good to be in the house of God. We believe these things which are laying before us are attainable by your grace. I believe with all of my heart, many of these people are well on their way to that status of love. Lord, we certainly can say like the woman who testified, I'm not what I used to be. I'm certainly not what I want to be, not what I ought to be, but I'm glad I'm not what I was. So we can look at not only just when we're sinners, but our degree of understanding of love and fear and faith and all these great things. We know, Lord God, we're certainly got a ways to go. But we can look back at where we come from and say, we're certainly not what we was. And we attribute that to your grace. We ask today that you would help us, speak to us once again by your word. Would you, Father? And we'll give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Let's look at verse 18 of chapter 4 and start there today. There is no phobos. No phobos. This is the root word that we get our English word of phobia from. So there is no phobos in agape. And phobos is dread or terror, or terror that is brought by dread. So there is no phobia in perfect love. Now, that doesn't mean that people who aren't born again cannot have phobias, but it does not come from the source of the love of God, because perfect love can never generate this type of fear. Totally impossible. The love of God cannot produce a fear which has torment. Now notice John says there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. Now remember, fear, this type of fear, not the godly fear, holy fear, but this type of fear brings distress. It is painful, not only physically, but psychologically. In physiology, in your body, it releases things that makes you act different. It makes your brain react different. It makes your emotions react different, because you've only got two basic emotions that all the rest of your emotions come from. One is fear-based, and the other one is love-based. So here John wants the church, the elect of God, not only that day, but being inspired by God, knowing that these books would be written for many thousands of years, something that would be given to him that he would be able to share with the church. Now think, this man had an experience with the Lord Jesus in the flesh. He was able to see many wonderful things, able to hear many wonderful things, rub shoulders with the apostles in that day. How many stories John could have told us? How many things that he could have said, and what deposits that he could have made in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. But yet he was not led of God to leave stories behind. Nothing against that now. The Gospel of John, you know, he chose to write, led by the Spirit of God, to write many things that he saw and heard about Jesus and the reaction of the common people of that day. But when it come to the epistle that God had anointed this man to write, his focus was not now on the stories, the people that done this, the people that said that, and we went here one day and we done that, but the focus was entirely different. The focus was on the present truth. And the present truth had now escalated to a spot to where it was more than just rehearsing the stories. Well, I saw Jesus do this, and I heard Jesus do that, and I saw Jesus. Now he was focusing on what the resurrected Jesus was currently doing. And it was not walking the shores of Galilee. So the focus now that John is now presenting to the church is what God is presently doing. Now, he certainly would not belittle the things that Jesus had done when he was here. He was not belittling anything that Peter or the rest of them, but if you notice, Peter's epistle was exactly the same way. They could have spent much of their time talking about things they had heard Jesus personally say. We're sitting around the table one night, and we heard this, and we done that, and we ate this, and we went over fishing, and we done that. That was not the present truth. But they were writing where present truths lay. It's always so difficult for folks to understand that. Is sharing of Jonah, is that the truth? It is. But let's face it, it is an historical truth. Hearing of what God done, you know, 100 years ago, 75 years ago, is that truth? It is. But it is an historical truth. I want to know what's present truth for right now. Hearing of what God done in my life 25, 30 years ago, that's wonderful. It still means a lot to me, but let's face the truth and be honest. It was a truth that happened to me back in my earlier years when I first gave my heart to God. I want to know where I am this morning. I want to know where you are this morning, and I want to know what I need to do and what I need to hear to make me a better person right now. Now, whenever we look at this, then John was catching the momentum of the Spirit of God for the present hour. And for where they were, this is what needed to be left behind to the people. Now, John is well up in years by now, by the time he writes this epistle. Whenever the book of Revelation is written, and this is written right in the same time frame, 95, 96 AD, so he's at the end of his ministry, knowing that he's going to go off the scene before long. And God would inspire the man to write something, a legacy, as it were, to be left behind to inspire not only the people of God for them, but in the ages that is to come. So it declares the present truth of God, and the focus of God of that hour was upon what God was doing. And the focus, of course, was to them and getting the very person of God himself living inside of them, because great times are coming. Great deceptive times are coming. They had already dealt with many things, many
many churches had split, many divided, false prophets had come among them, false shepherds had raised up, all kinds of terrible things had happened. By now they had already went through several persecutions. Diocletian was yet to come. Nero had already been. Several different ones were still yet to come. So they must leave something of an eternal value that will be deposited in the lives of the believers that will help them. So what does the Spirit of God inspire him to write upon? The capstone of the individual and the capstone of the church, which is perfect love. Now, many of these people are going to face the chop block. Many of them are going to face the sword. Many of them are going to watch their wives be torn to pieces by wild dogs. Their children will be eaten by lions in the arena. So what do they need to hear? Do they need to hear how the theology of God? Do they need to hear some rigmarole of somebody that said, well, this is deep and that is deep. Do they need to follow this man or that man? Or do they not need something so deposited in their soul they'll be able to face whatever hell throws in front of them? If they needed that in that hour, I believe we need the same thing in this hour. Now, we can preach all kinds of things. We can argue and debate and fuss about all types of theology. But when it's all said and done, and when you come here two or three times a week, whatever it is that you come to this church, I want you to leave here with something in your heart and in your walk before God that will give you the strength to face what you're facing in your home. The trouble that you're facing on your job. The trouble that you're facing when you walk out of this haven, as it were, and when you're facing the world out there, I want you to have something that'll give you strength to know how to deal with it. And friends, if perfect love don't do it, then we might as well throw up our hands and quit. Because this is the very epitome of who God is. Because God truly is revealed in the deep mysteries. God is revealed in the secret council. God is revealed in dress code. God is revealed in many of these other things. But yet there come a time that dress code will not be part of who we are. We will not be part. We will not sit and discuss the serpent seed through eternity. Because there will be no serpent seed there. You think we're going to preach about the devil and talk about the serpent seed? Of course not. There'll be no memory of such things. So one day that will all pass away. Will we spend eternity discussing about predestination? Will we spend eternity asking questions about this or that? Of course we will not. We will be fellowshipping around those things which are eternal. And one of the great things is what? Perfect love. Perfect love. Now watch, John says then that there is no fear in love. None whatsoever. There is absolutely no fear, slavish fear in love at all. Love is not made up of so much trust, so much confidence, so much fear, so much phobia, so much anger, so much of this and so much of that. God doesn't have a great recipe by which he's compounding all this together and makes up love. There is no fear. There is no room. There is absolutely nothing that you can work into the equation of perfect love. But in the lower degrees of our love for God, there is still room for fear. Well, glory. Any of us that have fears today, slavish fear, fear of torment, it's because our love is not yet complete. Let me say that from the pulpit to the back door, to the upstairs, to the nurseries, to everybody streaming, to all of us present. Now, what's this? Fear hath torment. Now, the Greek word here is the use for punishment. So fear is always revolving in the mind the punishment that is deserved. So anticipating through the consciousness of deserving it. But yet perfect love is totally incompatible with that concept. Because perfect love grasps the love that God had for you before the foundation of the world. So it was a love that was before you were a mortal. And it is a love that will be after you are a mortal. So your mortal time, however long that is in the life, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, that is the shortest existence by which you even know this type of love. But the kind of love that God had for the elect was a love before the foundation of the world. God didn't start loving you when you got saved. God loved you before you was you. God loved you when you were a thought in his mind. Oh, ain't that wonderful? Now watch, fear has torment, so fear brings distress. Fear can bring anxiety. Fear can bring all sorts of things. And John says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth. Now look at this word here. Phobia, which is of course another word for phobia. Be afraid of, to put to flight by terrifying, to scare away, to be struck with fear, to be seized with alarm, of those startled by strange sights or occurrences. Now he that feareth, he that has the phobia, the trauma, all of this type of deep fear, he's not made perfect in love. Now this is what hurts our feelings. It's hard for us Christians to admit we're not yet grown up in love. Because we think, I've been serving him 60 years. That's not the way we know it. You judge your maturity by your fear. You understand what a lot of the folks that are leaving the message and, you know, putting up websites and all these things, and they're trying to scare people that's still in it, that they're wrong. You know what their basis is? Fear. They're trying to scare you. What's it going to lead you to? What will it lead you to? Now watch. There is no fear in love. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So hear the mind then that would linger on fear and trying to comprehend what I deserve, and I should get this and I should get that and I should get the other. And the very reason, of course, for this type of fear to tormenting us and bringing us to this level is because the temperance or the degree of love has never been revealed in the way that it should be. Now John says, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. And God wants his children to live in a realm of perfect love and perfect faith. And not only who he is, but in perfect confidence of who you are in him. Now not in your flesh, not in your human makeup, because there's absolutely nothing, not one of us, that's perfect in herself. And when you think, it's amazing really, that an imperfect human being can project perfect love. An imperfect human being can have perfect faith in a perfect God and a perfect attribute that lives inside of you. And yet we think, can anything perfect come out of something imperfect? Absolutely. Now notice, here was the Lord Jesus coming on the earth, and he came out of, born by, given birth by, an imperfect woman, yet this perfect thing came out of an imperfect human being. And this imperfect human being carried him around and supplied the sustenance of the blood and so on. And yet when you think of half feeding his body, and when he come to this, it come from what? An imperfect woman. And yet God brought the perfection of perfection, the completion of all the desire of the ages, come out of what? An angel, a cherubim, a seraphim, a mortal who needed redemption. And yet God brought Jesus out of that. If God brought Jesus out of Mary, God can bring Jesus out of Donnie. Because Mary didn't even have the Holy Ghost. Mary didn't even have the new birth. But thank God we do. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, watch this. Brother Branham, when he deals with this, he said, above everything that you do, love one another. As you love one another, you'll love God. You love one another, he said, for God is love. And a man that walks in love walks in life. And perfect love casteth out all fear. Now, remember when he says this, all fear, this is not the fear of God. This is not the godly type of fear. Then if you can take him at his word, not fear a bit about it. Lord, I love you. I know you're going to answer because you promised me you would. And I know you're going to do it. It takes all fear away. But how many of us have prayed about things and we were afraid God wouldn't answer? Come on, some more of you. Go ahead and be honest. And you know what kept your answered prayer away? Your fear. because you were afraid. God would not answer, and you cannot have perfect faith, rendering through the avenue of perfect love, and still have slavish fear. Now you can have a weaker degree of love and a weaker degree of faith. Just like the man that come to Jesus, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Why? His faith was not perfect. So he could have this weaker degree of love and also have a mixture of unbelief from the same heart. So a person can love God with a weaker degree of love and have fear from the same heart and love God and scared to death of the devil. Well, glory. We need to grow up. And by God's grace, we're going to. Now notice, as long as you're doing what he says do, and you're directly led, then there's nothing to fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. There's no fear in God. Love takes away fear. Amen. Hold on. Now let's move into a mystical realm. Like I was telling a lady this morning, when you go to fry your meat for breakfast, and a bunch of grease pops on your hand, scares you to death, you grab your hand, where's the engine team? There's a lot of you don't know what that even is. Do you? You poor deprived people. Y'all live in another age, ain't you? Well, I ain't going to take time to explain it to you. Where is the engine team? It's a quick fix in your first aid cabinet. You know, you spray it or rub it on. Just to, you know. Where is the engine team? As quick as you can. Now listen. The reason it burns you. Notice why. That's the reason it burns you. That's what makes it the scare. I can prove that. It's the scare that burns you. So you mean it wasn't the grease? It was not the grease. It was your reaction to the grease. Well, glory. You said that makes absolutely no sense. I understand. I understand what you're telling me. That makes absolutely no sense. Just like a poisonous viper biting Paul, and yet he didn't fear it, shook it off from the fire, and went gathering firewood. Made absolutely no sense whatsoever. But I'm kind of glad he didn't pay no attention to it, ain't you? So he didn't scare. The scare never arose in his heart. Now that's the way I believe in snake handling. Now Jesus said they'll take up serpents. Every example that Jesus promised in Mark 16 was fulfilled in the book of Acts. And you never find them saints gathering together with a bunch of rattlesnakes or copperheads or vipers or whatever, taking them out of a box and handling them one another. There's no example of no such in the scripture. Come on now, church. I like to see where the scripture promises and the scripture answers its promise. Now watch, he said, I can prove that it's the scare that burns you. You got the Holy Ghost, it's operating in your body. Well, when that old snake grabbed a hold of Paul's hand, there was not a bit of scare. He didn't say there wasn't no poison. He didn't say that Paul's body was so full of Holy Ghost blood. There is no such a thing in our bodies. I know we sing the song, I'm a child of a king. His royal blood now flows through my veins, but that's not true. His blood is not in my veins. I've got the blood of Don and Betty Reagan in my veins. But the Holy Ghost inside of Paul's soul absolutely eradicated fear. Why? He had a promise, you're going to Rome. You're going to Rome, so that promise overrode the scare. Praise the Lord. Notice he looked at it, he shook it off on the fire and went on. Got some more sticks. It didn't scare him. You see, you're not scared. Jesus said, why do you fear? Peter come walking on the water doing fine until he seen the waves were contrary. Then he got scared and began to sink. Jesus come, picked him up and said, why did you fear? Oh, you have little faith. Fear. You scared. Notice, you're scared. It won't happen. Don't have one bit of fear. Move forward. Again, he says, you can't do that until you have love. Perfect. Love casts out all fear. Pardon me a moment. Sir, you can out-preach me, out-sing me, out-shout me, talk in tongues faster in more languages than I can. But I can love and you can't. Not only can I love, I can love in a realm of perfect love. Material, consistent, habitually, every day, day in, day out. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Notice here, Brother Ram said, I love him and I want you to love him. I want you to believe him. Perfect love casts out all fear. If you love him with the right kind of a heart, you won't have one speck of fear. Whether you can keep. Whether you can keep his word or not. I thought it was him keeping his word. That's a degree of love. This is the ultimate degree. To where you yourself have no fear that you will fail. No. You're so set free from fear. I'm not talking about in our mind, friends. I'm talking about the evidence of the Spirit of God is so manifest in itself in our lives. You have no fear that you are going to fail. Oh, if I can just trust God, if I can just get to a place, I know God will keep his word. You're still just growing, ain't you? God wants you to get to the place to where you have so much confidence, not only in him, but in what he has done for you, that you even have no fear about yourself keeping his word. Because it is revealed to you, you will keep it. Oh my, some of you are in shock. Somebody punch him in the side there and wake him up. Let me read it again. If you love him with the right kind of heart, you won't have one speck of fear whether you can keep his word or not. Not whether God will, but it's whether you can. Well, I don't know. I hope, I pray I'll be able to endure to the end. But if this kind of faith settles in your heart, the hope so's gone out the window. Well, I pray I'll be able to make it. I hope that I can. I'm really trying to do everything I know to do. I'm reading my Bible and that's all good and well. But it ain't based upon that. It's based upon your love. Your trust. And not in you. Now, slavish fear can be in the same heart as a lesser degree of love. Many Christians are tormented by a degree of fear because a degree of love is less in their heart. But they have a hard time acknowledging and saying, Lord, I need more love. Love and fear cannot coexist in a heart that is so full of perfect love. Totally impossible. Brother Donnie, where are you going with this? Well, it's far out, I can tell you. Now listen to me carefully. It is self-interest love that fears. Now we can love God, we can love the message, we can love church, we can love preachers and family and friends and so on and so on. But it is self-interest love that predominates a human heart that will allow fear to couple with that love. Because self-interest love, it so needs fear as a supplement to support it. Because we're afraid. Oh, I'm afraid I'm going to get cancer. And I'm afraid I'm going to. Self-interest love. So self-interest love is an open door by which fear grabs a hold of its hand and says, let me help you. Let's walk this journey together. You and I. I'll be your friend in the night. Yeah, he will. He's the one that does. You ain't talking in tongues, your teeth chatter. He's the one that when you get overwhelmed will scare you and tell you there's no way out. He's the one that'll tell you that God won't answer your prayer because you've got a record of how many prayers that you've written down that God ain't never answered as far as what you're concerned. So you've got that fear that he won't answer this one or that one. So what if you get in a real distress in the time of emergency? How do you know he'll come then? Why? Self-interest love. Oh, I'm afraid that it does what, and I'm afraid of that, and self-interest love is a perfect companion to fear. But when self-interest love loses its hold on our heart, and perfect mature love begins to gain preeminence in that soul, what you'll notice is that as self-interest love gets less and less and less, fear goes with it, and perfect love comes in its place. And the sinner said, well, I'm afraid that I'm of this and I'm that. It'll say, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. Not what I want, Lord. It's not what I want any longer. Can't you see that Jesus was the very epitome of that type of a love? But Satan wants to keep us loving God. Oh, yes, love God. Don't stop loving God. Don't stop going to church. Don't stop being a believer. But just keep your self-interest love. That way, when somebody hurts your feelings, you'll respond accordingly. You'll post something on Facebook about them. Or write them a letter and I'll put your name on it or whatever. Why? Self-interest love. But the love of God said, Father, forgive them. For they don't know what to do. But we're so wrapped up in our self-interest love. Lord, I thought this was you that led me to preach this morning. Maybe I'll... Now what's this? Self-interest love. Self-centeredness. Brother Bam says one of the greatest hindrances that we have in the church today right here in Edmonton. Or he said, I didn't mean it's Edmonton. I mean to pronounce Prince Albert. Among people everywhere is fear. But love, perfect love, casteth out fear. And the reason you're fearful is because the right temperance of love has never entered yet. When there's real love, all fear passes away. Now we're not talking about these words coming from a theologian who wrote about love in his study and never experienced it. But we're talking about a man who stood on a platform one time and a maniac which was released out of the insane institution come up on the platform and threatened to kill him. Now I'll offer all of those who are opposing this message to do the same challenge. Until you can do what he did, shut your fat mouth. If you can do the signs he done and done what he done, I might listen to you. I might not, but I might. So I'm talking about a theologian that sat back in his study and wrote about love. I'm talking about a man who experienced it and manifested before tens of thousands of witnesses. The man come up and hocked a big hockey spear. Pew! I'll break every bone in your body. Remember the story? And Brother Branham, what did he do? He dragged out of his arsenal the deepest mystery you knew about God. Really? Okay, well maybe I misread that story. He dragged out of his arsenal the biggest miracle that he'd ever done, walking on water or open eyes to the blind. Really? He said, I looked at that man and I said, poor fellow. The devil has made him do that. Do you see what conquered that demon? Love. Glory to God. Now there was a warfare going on in the supernatural world. The chief of that tribe of demons had made a challenge to the Spirit of God. That's what he tells us in 1956. The chief of that tribe of demons had made a challenge to the Spirit of God. And I love this next comment. And the Holy Ghost accepted his challenge. Oh, glory. Just so happens that he's got a soldier, amen, a general, whatever you want to call him, standing there on a platform, a man that might not have known his great vocabulary, adjectives and adverbs and nouns and pronouns, but he knew God. He didn't just know God in a way of miracles. He knew God in a way of love. You remember the story, speaks to that demon, and the man goes round and around and around and falls across his feet. He said, because you have challenged the Spirit of God, you'll see who does what. So here the man falls across his feet. The police officers come to him and say, oh, there's a man delivered. He said, no. But would you roll him off my feet? They said, is he helped? He said, no. He worships that spirit. Now he said, whenever that devil, oh my, was made subjected, that man was not delivered, but God made that devil bow down to the presence of the Holy Ghost. Not into the presence of Brother Branham now, but in the presence of the Holy Ghost. And he said, when that happened, he said, people bowed, oh my, all over the building started getting up. Cripples started walking. People getting up out of wheelchairs. But you know the amazing thing is? The man who was the closest to the prophet got nothing. He was so close, Brother Harold, he was laying on his feet and got nothing. Because he worshiped that spirit. And what conquered it? Love. Love. What was it that moved on his heart when the mad bull was out in the field and the farmer said, don't go near that bull, he'll kill you. What was it? What doctrine, Brother Mandraga? The seven thunders? Look here, devil. The white horse rider went through those. That bull said, meow. Ain't interested in trumpets, seals, white horse riders. He's interested in stomping your guts out. Let me tell you something, just in case you don't know. These devils out here ain't interested in how deep you are, how much you know. They want to destroy you. They don't care how much you know about God. The more you know, the better fool they want to make out of you, as a matter of fact. They don't care how much you think you can quote. But brother, sister, the power of love will help us conquer every devil that there is in hell. Now let's go into this in a little deeper way. There are only two types of emotions, each with their own anatomy and physiology. Love and fear. All other emotions are variations of these. Out of the love branch come emotions of joy, trust, caring, peace, contentment, patience, kindness, gentleness. That sounds like a kind of life I want. Fear-based emotions include bitterness, anger, hatred, rage, anxiety, guilt, shame, inadequacy, depression, confusion. These emotions directly affect our bodies because the amount of chemicals released is based on which group the emotions belong to. Either the love-based or fear-based group. Obviously, weeding out emotions based on fear will greatly detoxify your thought life. Some of y'all have took gallbladder cleanses and kidney cleanses and all kinds of other cleanses. We need a thought life cleanse. We need our brains cleaned out with a bunch of trash. We need our image of ourself and our image of God and our image of other people cleaned out and detoxified. And that can only come by supernatural. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now watch how this works in you as an individual. Whether or not you've got the Holy Ghost, you are a human being. And these things can affect you. In fact, researchers have even identified a neural circuit for holding learned fear in check. This is what many of us are experiencing. Learned fear. it. We picked it up. We were taught it by our parents or taught it by an experience. And it's as common to you as breathing. It is committed to your subconscious. That's why other folks can see you respond and they say, you done so and so and so. And you acted this way. And you say, I never done it. You did too. You got all white around the mouth and your face got real red. Well, I never done no such a thing. You're not lying. You're being honest. Because your subconscious so released those actions, you never even thought about it. It bypassed the conscious thought level. And you expressed that. And your wife or husband or whoever it was said, I can't believe you done that. You said this or that. I never done no such a thing. You're lying on me. My Lord. Wonder if that could have be some of our arguments get into such state. And some of y'all argue like I don't know what, and then you don't even remember arguing. I don't believe all of you's demon possessed. Surely to God you ain't. But you know what? It's so committed. It's learned. We were taught how to fuss. You didn't come from your mother's womb a professional arguer. We did not come from our mother's womb a professional debater. We were taught to argue and fuss and stand our ground for stupid stuff. It's one thing to stand for the Word of God, but for our own ideas, our own opinions? When we experience love emotions, our brains and our bodies function differently, better actually, than if we experience fear emotions. The negative fear-based emotions force the body into backup systems just to hold the fear in check, which is not the ideal and not the first choice. Science in the Bible. I love it when you can find a doctor that'll say this. Science in the Bible teach us not to fear. The fact is, although you're completely unaware, of the mechanisms by which it happens. Thought formation and emotional expression are always tied to a specific flow of chemicals in your body. In a nutshell, emotions bring the whole body into a single purpose, integrating systems and coordinating mental processes and biology to create behavior. Emotions are psychological, what we think, and biological, what we feel. So our brain responds to our thoughts by releasing hormones and chemicals which send us into a state of arousal. Amen. You ever seen anybody get all excited? I mean, just all tore up and they're just... I'm excited. The only thing I would accept that from is a sloth. Oh my, he had an ecstatic explosion, a sloth, you know. Most of us have a psychological response and a biological response. I have that when I hear things about the Word too, so it ain't all bad. Amen. But you as an individual have a choice, or you say, I can't help it. There's where you're lying to yourself. You have accepted this lie of the devil, telling you that you cannot stop this. I defy that lie today. Based on God's Bible and even medical science. Our brain responds to our thoughts by releasing hormones and chemicals which send us into a state of arousal. All emotions come about in this way, whether positive or negative. Fear has a way of paralyzing us. It stops us in our tracks and puts all our focus on our problem.
Poor little me. Y'all excuse me. I'm going to have a pity party. Let me get in my favorite chair. Okay, where was I the last time I had this pity party? Oh, I remember. It was when I was in Miss Smith's room in the third grade. And then Miss McGillicuddy's room in the fourth grade. And they wanted me to draw an animal. And I told them I couldn't draw very good. And I draw that animal and put it up on the board and everybody thought it was a basketball.
And if you think that's an exaggeration, you ought to see me drawing. Even my granddaughters make fun of it. You don't understand what you're doing. You are so involved. You're reliving. And I wonder how many of these stories that we are reliving, if we would have a video camera to recall that moment, are we telling it the way it exactly happened? Or has this story grown in our mind over the years? I'm so glad God had this Bible written down. Can you imagine John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos seeing all these visions, and if God would have committed it to memory? And then 15 years later or 20 years later, John would try to recall how he saw it. God knows how human memory is. Some of you that are looking at the message and looking at a story told this way and that way and that way and that way, don't you understand the man telling it is a human being? Are you going to tell me every time you retell a story, you tell it exactly the same way? I'm going to call you a liar, because that's what you are. Prophets are the same way. Preachers are the same way. And you're the same way. You might as well admit it. And a lot of the things that we recall, I wonder, are they as true as what we think? But we committed them to our memory with such emotion. That's the fact. As far as we're concerned. Several years ago, Brother Darrell and Brother Daniel and I was out hunting in Kansas. Brother Darrell had seen a great old big deer. So he shot. They call me, I'm in another place. Man, come over, I've shot a monster. So I leave and head out, get over there. We're hunting, hunting. I call Carol. Pray for us, Brother Darrell shot a giant. Well, pray we can find it. Well, I get over there and I hear him and Brother Daniel bawl. They're down on the ground. Down on the ground. Laughing. Because somehow this giant shrunk. I was on the phone, I think it was when I was on the phone with you, Carol, whenever I come up and I see them and they are dying laughing, I fall right on the ground laughing with them. Brother Darrell's first words were, I mean, they should find one little drop of blood, and Brother Daniel's like a beagle hound. Here he goes, row, 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 row. Never found a deer in his life. But here they go, they find this thing, and Brother Darrell walks up on that deer and he said, that ain't my deer. What? Because he committed to memory that big deer that he saw, and when he sees that, there ain't no way that's my deer. I wonder how many of our memories and how many things we recall. Though he said, don't tell me that ain't the way it happened. And depending on the way you lead, we will always make it worse. And that's the way we recall it. And over the years, if we're not careful, those negative emotions will make it worse each time we tell it. Oh, Lord Jesus. Notice this. So fear puts all of our focus on our problem. When we do this, fear has a stronger grip around our lives. Fear gives more and more power to the devil by magnifying the issue. Fear is like a magnifying glass that focuses on our problem, making it much larger and scarier than it really is. But faith does the exact opposite. Faith magnifies the promise and belittles the problem. Let me show you an example. You've heard it many times. When great Goliath stood out there as such a giant, no question about it, the man's a big man. No question about it, his equipment's very large. Everything about the man large, gigantic. Saul and the rest of the army of Israel saw him as an enemy. There's no way you could tackle. But David was wearing different glasses. He was wearing magnifying glasses that magnified the promise. Now you imagine, Brother Bim said, that Goliath's head was the size of a washtub. My land, his eyeballs must have been about that big around. You imagine the hands on that dude, his fingers 14 inches long? And they looked out there and said, Lord have mercy. How in the world could a man ever tackle a man like that? David said, Lord have mercy. How in the world could I ever miss a head that big? Oh, glory to God. It depends on the way you look at it. Fear will magnify and say, the doctor said there's no hope. The doctor said this and the doctor said that. And faith said, I'm the Lord God that healeth all thy diseases. Little faith, little love can hold hand in hand with fear. And you can have faith in church and fear when you walk out. Because they're companions. But when perfect love steps in the heart, perfect love, is rude. It is rude. Not to people, but rude to fear. It don't take it, but then, oh, fear. You know, I've come to take over now, and I don't want to offend you and hurt your feelings and all that sort of thing. Perfect love, cast it out. He said, don't you never come back again. Can I go just a bit farther? Notice, fear is one of the devil's most powerful weapons against God's children. Because instead of focusing on the provision, we focus on our lack. Can you imagine that God so made the human body in this way that it would respond to fear? And Satan has broken into it. Just this week, scientists have found a protein in the human body that they hope will be a cure to cancer. It is a protein that each of us have at the embryonic stage in our mother. A protein that goes right with us up to the time of birth. And when we are born, all of a sudden, the protein shuts off. But they have found that tumors, cancers, somehow this cancer turns this protein on and gives it the ability to go from this spot to another. What is it? Metastasize? That's the word they say. So this somehow this, now you figure out there is not a germ that could do that. There is not a disease, but it is an intelligence. And we know it's demonic. So that demonic intelligence breaks into the human body and has figured out a way to turn on this protein, which will allow this to go from the breast to the bone, from the liver to this, from there to there to there. And it simply turns on what's already there in your body and simply flips a switch. And all of a sudden it allows this tumor to go from one spot to another, to another, to another. I pray to God they can be able to find it. Brother Branham prayed for the doctors that they'd find a cure for cancer. If they can't come by divine healing, I pray they find a cure. Don't you feel the same way? Well, look, if he can do that, if he studied the human body about cancer, what about this and us as fear? What's this fear? Let me jump down a paragraph, Brother Eric. Fear is more than simply a mental state. It affects both the physiology of the body and the chemical balance of the brain as well. When people are afraid, it generates stress. Extreme stress can manifest itself physically in a number of ways. In extreme cases, it can cause tunnel vision, loss of color perception, color blindness. It can cause a distortion of both time and depth of perception. You realize many people who are in automobile accidents, whenever they recall what happened, many of them will say it happened in black and white. Or they will say it took so many seconds or so many minutes, when in all reality, it was only a brief second. They have taken people and put them on these long falls, these plunge type of things from only nuts, right? I honor God's gift too much to get in one of them things. Plus, I do honor Donnie too. But they have them people and they get in there and they say, how long was you falling? Oh, it must have been 20 seconds. And they time them. And they show them when they get done. 3.5 seconds. Because in this euphoria, this ecstatic place of fear, everything slows down. So you see, we can become fearful and afraid of the rapture, the coming, the preparation, our position. Everything slows down. Our perception of depths of vision, we can't see as deep. We can't see as broad. We lose colors. We lose spectrum. Why? Fear. Fear. Mama. Often when someone is involved in a serious auto accident, they will describe these effects. They may say it was like everything was in slow motion or everything was in black and white. What they are describing is the effect of stress generated by fear. Fear and stress generated by it will raise blood pressure. Listen to this. It will also deplete the immune system. Fear causes error in judgment and prevents us from taking the most reasonable course of action. And perfect love somehow can have such a counter effect in my body. Even though the chemicals in my body and my brain is made to process this fear the way every other mortal is. But somehow or another, by strange phenomena called the new birth, I am baptized into a mystical, invisible body. Which gives me the ability not to lose my depth of perception, nor my colors, nor my sense of reality, or stopping me from making the right decisions. So when trouble is moving in on every side, the world is falling apart. Our nation is falling apart. You read it every week. My goodness, we can't keep up with the scandals, all that's going on. Isn't it amazing? Just this week, they done a survey on how many Americans approve of homosexual marriage. Quite phenomenal when you look back in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, how in the last 5 years, people's perception of it being all right has totally changed. Don't you see? The sodomy of America must outbalance. Look, friends, it's going to be more and more and more than more people. All it takes is for somebody to find out their boys that way. Come on, are there nephews out? Well, maybe it ain't so bad after all. Don't you see what's happening? Don't you see what's going on? Their perception of judgment is no longer there. And it won't be too many more settings of the sun. It'll start moving in the message in a way that'll flabbergast us. Because all it takes is one preacher. Look, whether or not you know it, we've already had one preacher in the message have a sex change. He said he could no longer be a preacher, but he wanted to know if he could be a Sunday school teacher. Go knock on Lot's door, buddy, not ours. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Donnie, ain't you afraid? I am not. I am not afraid of Obama. I'm not afraid of the CIA. I'm not afraid of the FBI. Hallelujah. Oh, but now, Brother Donnie, the Lord gives us wisdom, which what you're saying is, I don't say nothing no more. Wisdom is not compromising. Let's stand. I didn't say I was done. I just said y'all can stand. Let me read you a couple of things and then we'll close. Fear and anger have different effects upon your body. In the gastrointestinal tract, fear reduces contractions and secretions acid. In the upper digestive tract, stomach and duodenum, leading to nausea, fullness, and loss of appetite. In contrast, fear increases contractions and secretion in the lower digestive tract, colon, resulting in diarrhea and abdominal pain. This response can be associated with the symptoms of nausea and diarrhea. This gut response to fear has been built in and encoded within you. You ever get a phone call or a text or an email? And in seconds, you feel it right there. Some kind of bad news or something happens. You know what I'm saying? Now, some of you, it just grinds and burns you up. And others, it's encoded in us. On the other hand, anger operates in different in the gut. Its effects are just the opposite of fear effects. Anger increases stomach contractions that can lead to upper abominable pain. Reduces colon contractions, which results in constipation. With each case, the gut experiences the unique stereotype impact of emotion. So our emotions are so deeply connected with who we are. So our thoughts, our fears, our faiths, our trusts, our confidence or lack of it. Fear loosens your bowels. Anger bottles you up. But when emotions come into play, the gut is not the only system implicated. Your emotional responses are not limited to the gastrointestinal tract. All organs and tissues of the body are involved. This includes mind, brain, even if when it doesn't know what is going on. But this is the opposite. John says in 1 John 4:18, there is no love, no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now I love this next verse. We love him because he first loved us. How in the world could he make the basis of my love of him loving me? This is the source of perfect love. As long as you are taking credit, oh, I've always loved God, I've always done this and I've always done that, you'll never move into verse 19. You'll never move into perfect love as long as you think, well, I was always different to my brothers. I always wanted to do this and I always wanted to do that. Look, if God made you different, that's one thing. But if you think you're different because your determination, your zeal, and your desire, you are not realizing the author of your love. Let me read it again. We agapeo him. Because he agapeos us. Not our good works. How much we prayed. How much we fasted. If you love him, it's because he first loved you. Why, Brother Donnie? Don't you see why others cannot agapeo him? Millions filio him. Don't criticize him. Don't cast him out as evil. They cannot agapeo him if he did not agapeo them first. Now remember, there is agape, agapeo, agapas. Several different words. But the only way you can agapeo him is if he first agapeoed you. And that released you and made you free to agapeo him. There is the source of perfect love. How many wants it with all your heart? Now, I made the challenge last night. If anybody could show me where Brother Branham ever said, thus saith the Lord, lay aside everything till you get deep Or thus saith the Lord, lay aside everything till you have signs and wonders. Thus saith the Lord, lay aside everything to have this or this or this. Did anybody find anything? But we do have him repeating it over and over again, which coincides exactly with John's teaching. Lay aside everything until you get perfect love. Mature, grown up love. It don't just make you feel different toward God. It makes you feel different toward one another. When we love God, we will love one another. Those that hate us, those that run us down, those that talk about us. And we don't have to pray about loving them. It's automatic. Whether or not you know it, this is the greatest miracle that could ever happen to you. Let's pray together. Oh, Lord Jesus. Release me, Lord. Help me, dear God. I believe I've grown in my love. I believe I've grown in my confidence and my trust. But Lord, I can look at myself and still see selfish love. Help me not to love with blinders, Lord. And love those with a deep degree. Those who love me with a deep degree. But help me to love those who would kill me. Help me to pray for the man that'll run me down and fabricate lies and try to mar my character. Help me to pray for that man just as sincerely as I would pray for Harry if he was in some type of dire need. Help me not have to fast 3 days to see if I can pray for this man or let me think about it. But let it be so constant out of my soul that I can do as you did. And do as Stephen did that day when the rocks were hitting him in the face and the head. And yet, he had been so changed. You'd sown this perfect love in the Alpha Bride. And Stephen turned and said, I see the Lord Jesus standing at the right hand of power. They got so angry and so mad. They gnashed him like a bunch of animals. They were furious. They gnashed on this preacher with their teeth and took up stones and stoned him. Imagine as his pain in his body began to rage. Rock hit him in the hand and in an arm, a shoulder. Somebody hit him in the jaw. Somebody hit him in the forehead and the blood gushed out. But it still left him conscious enough to say, Lord Jesus, lay not this sin to their charge. No wonder this haunted Paul all of his life. It wasn't just the pillar of fire that Paul met on the road to Damascus. That certainly brought a great abrupt change in his life. No doubt he must have started changing right then. Something affected that man. Because that was the pillar of fire in another form. In a human being. Lord, help us that we can love those who talk about us. Run us down. A brother that does us wrong. Grant it, Lord. Help us that this love can so fill our lives that we are intoxicated with the love of God. It does away with rudeness. Oh God, it does away with anger and temper. Lord, as we looked at it here today, those are the emotions that come from the fear side, not from the love side. Help me, Lord Jesus. I pray for this sheep. May you help each of us to love more, to love constantly, to love habitually. To love so automatic that it's committed to the realm of the soul. The way fear and trauma and hurt is committed to the subconscious. May this deeper degree of love, as long as it's committed to our first conscience, we'll think about how we have to treat people. We'll discipline ourselves. Well, I've got to be kind to them. I've got to love them. Help us to see, Lord, we're still not there yet. As long as we have to distribute it to our mind and make our body and all that, help us to see. It needs to be automatic, Lord. Grant it, Lord Jesus. How many would like to be remembered today in prayer before the Lord? Would you raise your hand to Him? Many of you Christians have been serving God for many, many years of your life. But if you're like me, you'd probably feel you need more love. More of the love of God. Do I want more understanding of the Word? I sure do. Do I want to be deeper? I sure do. But I'll tell you one thing. I want God would give me my choice today. Let me be the deepest preacher in the message. Let me preach such things that men who's been around for years would be astounded at the words that come out of my mouth. Or let me have such love that it can move on a sinner's heart. Or it can move on people's hearts who've been so hurt and so wounded. I would choose the love. Which would you choose? Would you want to be known as the deepest Christian? The smartest one? The one who could quote the most message? Or would you want to be known as a person so full of the love of God that you was like a magnet, that people was just drawn to you? They couldn't stand to be away from you. That's that kind of person Jesus was. Amen. Let me pray for you now, would you? And I want you to pray for me. Lord God, with all the faith that I have in my heart, You saw their hands, Lord. I believe for the most part, most of them were sincere. They wasn't doing it because of a show. Maybe Brother Ryerson over in Norway, him and his wife, sitting there in their home, streaming the service. Some up in Canada. Some over in Alaska. Some in Japan. In the Netherlands. Some in Jerusalem. Wherever they are in different parts of the world. May the Spirit of God move on their little hearts today, Lord. We love depths. We love mysteries. We love deep things. Lord Jesus, we love this perfect love. Grant it today, Lord, to our hearts. Help these husbands to love their wives. These wives to love their husbands. Help me as a pastor to love with agape love. Help these sheep to love with agape love. Grant it, Lord God. Release me, Father, from my fears. May the brain, may the chemicals in my body be released with the emotions attached to love. May it override the bad memories. May it override the storage of what my hypothalamus has released. Of all the things that I've stored up over the years. Free me today, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Flow through me, Holy Spirit. Flow through me, I will be your house to dwell in. Flow through me, I will be that good Samaritan to can we sing it now? Oh, love through me. Holy Spirit, love. Brother Josh and Sister Kima's little baby, they did a scan on its body. And the doctor wanted him to come back in and do another, and they found some cyst on his kidneys. They want him to come back for another one. But her confession is that the Lord has already healed him. And they're believing God. Let's believe with him today. Lord Jesus, he cannot be able to believe for himself. Lord God, we ask you in the name of Jesus. You see what this is, Lord, on the kidney. These cysts, the doctor's saying it could be several things. Lord, they're looking at the only thing they know to look at. They're saying what they know to say. We're grateful for doctors, all this sort of thing. But Lord, there's another report in your word. I pray in the name of Jesus. We believe right here today, Lord God, that you're a miracle worker. We believe, Heavenly Father, these things can disappear even right now. I know sometimes, Lord, that you will allow us to go to doctors and they'll have scans and they'll take these pictures and it'll be there as evidence. And then we'll go back and they're gone. So Lord, we don't get discouraged just because there's something shows up on the picture. Sometimes what we see on the picture is a miracle in the making. So Lord God, we believe you today, Father. We believe, we refuse to let fear dominate our hearts. Faith will dominate. Faith will believe. Lord God, make him well, I pray. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Friends, Jesus tells us in the book of Matthew that there will be people that will come before him in that day and say, Lord, we cast out devils in your name. We healed the sick in your name. We've done all these things in your name. And he said, I'll say to them, depart from me. I never knew you. Isn't it amazing? Jesus never said, none of them ever said, I had perfect love. Because if they would have had perfect love, they couldn't be standing there in the first place. So the signs, the miracles, the supernatural in a person's life can be impersonated to the T. But perfect love, there is no impersonation. Glory to God. When we talk about the opening of the Word, what exactly does that mean? Are we talking about the pages of this Bible? Are we talking about the pages of the seal book? Or is the opening of the Word the opening of a person? The person, Jesus Christ. I must and will have perfect love. Say it with me. I must and will have perfect love. Again, I must and will have perfect love. Praise God. Hallelujah. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Oh, Counselor, Prince of Peace, my God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, pray. Everybody now. Oh, He's so wonderful. Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, You see His need for this time. Lord, I pray, dear God, in Jesus' name, and I praise You, Lord. May You bring the
God, peace is mine. God bless you, saints. Hallelujah.